Picture a patient following doctor's orders for years, taking medications religiously, undergoing procedures, trusting the system, only to discover it was all for nothing, or worse, that the treatment caused harm. This isn't a rare medical mishap. It's a systematic problem affecting millions annually, costing billions in healthcare dollars, and fundamentally challenging our trust in modern medicine. Medical reversal, when established treatments are discovered to be ineffective or harmful, occurs far more often than most people realize. Studies examining articles in the New England Journal of Medicine found that 40% of established medical practices tested were eventually shown not to work. This revelation should concern anyone who's ever sat in a doctor's office nodding along to treatment recommendations, assuming that decades of medical practice guarantee effectiveness. Medical reversal occurs when widely used practices are discovered to have never worked. Flecainide, prescribed in the early 1990s to prevent sudden cardiac death, seemed logical. Irregular heartbeats predict death, flecainide suppresses them, therefore it should save lives. The 1992 CAST trial revealed it actually increased mortality 2.5 times, killing thousands it was meant to save. Coronary stents for stable chest pain, tiny tubes propping open narrowed arteries, cost billions annually and made patients feel dramatically better. Yet the COURAGE trial, with over 2,000 patients, showed they offered no survival advantage over medication alone. Vertebroplasty for spinal fractures, initially celebrated as miraculous, performed no better than sham procedures using only saltwater injections. This pattern spans cardiology, orthopedics, and oncology, revealing a healthcare system operating on assumption rather than evidence. Medical reversal becomes uncomfortable when treatments make people feel better without actually working. When arthroscopic knee surgery for degenerative tears proved no more effective than physical therapy, or even fake surgery, patients and physicians resisted. "It worked for me," patients insisted. Doctors countered, "My patients feel better." Both were right about the experience, but wrong about the cause. The placebo effect is scientifically validated and remarkably powerful. Your brain releases endorphins, natural morphine-like substances, in response to the expectation of relief. In asthma studies, patients reported equal symptom improvement from real inhalers, placebo inhalers, and sham acupuncture, even though only real medication objectively improved lung function. This creates an ethical dilemma. If patients genuinely feel better, does it matter whether the treatment has real physiological effects? Yes, when these placebo therapies are expensive, carry risks, involve deception, or delay more effective treatments. Interestingly, Harvard research shows that even when patients knowingly take sugar pills labeled as placebos with self-healing properties, they experience significant improvement compared to no treatment. The lesson? We must distinguish between treatments that work through genuine mechanisms and those that work through expectation alone. Surrogate endpoints, measurable markers like cholesterol levels, blood pressure, or tumor size, are invisible to patients but irresistible to researchers. They're faster and cheaper to study than actual outcomes like heart attacks or death. The problem? Improving these numbers doesn't guarantee better health. While statins lower cholesterol and save lives, other cholesterol-improving drugs have failed spectacularly. Extended-release niacin and fenofibrate both improved lipid profiles, but failed to reduce heart attacks, strokes, or deaths in large trials. Bevacizumab for metastatic breast cancer received FDA approval in 2008 based on impressive progression-free survival improvements, from 5.9 to 11.8 months. Scans looked better, tumor shrank, blood markers improved, yet actual survival barely changed, and patients experienced significant side effects, including hemorrhage and heart failure. 3 years later, the FDA reversed its approval. Even hospitalization, both undesirable and frequently used as a surrogate for mortality, proves unreliable. Analysis of hundreds of trials found that in one-third of studies, treatments that decreased hospitalization actually increased mortality or vice versa. Certain heart failure medications reduced hospital admissions while showing concerning trends in death rates. This reveals a fundamental truth. Changing numbers on a lab report doesn't automatically translate to longer, better lives.
Christopher underwent robotic surgery for prostate cancer for detected through PSA testing, experiencing lasting incontinence and impotence. Years later, he learned expert recommendations had shifted. Routine screening was now discouraged. Did the test save his life or unnecessarily diminish its quality? Unlike treatments for sick people, screening tests affect healthy populations, potentially turning them into patients unnecessarily. For screening to truly benefit people, it must find disease early, reduce deaths from that specific disease, and improve overall survival. Most screening accomplishes only the first goal. PSA testing may reduce prostate cancer deaths, but hasn't improved overall survival. Mammography shows variable benefits for breast cancer mortality, but no proven improvement in overall survival. The culprit is overdiagnosis, detecting cancers that would never cause symptoms or death. We cannot distinguish deadly cancers from harmless ones, so we treat them all. For prostate cancer, we treat approximately 40 men to save one life. After mammography became widespread, early breast cancer diagnoses increased by 132 cases per 100,000 women annually, while advanced cancers decreased by only 8 cases, revealing we're finding many cancers that would never cause harm.
Carl, a police veteran with leukemia, was placed under contact precautions after testing positive for vancomycin-resistant enterococcus. Healthcare workers had to gowns and gloves before entering his room, a process that frustrated staff and seemed to reduce doctor visits. Carl accepted this, believing it protected others. Studies published after his death showed these precautions don't actually decrease bacterial transmission. Systems interventions, protocols, checklists, quality measures, and economic incentives represent a relatively new focus in medicine. Unlike businesses that constantly evaluate changes, healthcare often adopts interventions without adequate study, making them difficult to abandon, even when proven ineffective. Intensive insulin therapy in ICUs exemplifies this. A 2001 single-center trial showed normalizing blood sugar improved survival, prompting professional societies to embrace strict targets. When rigorously tested in 2009 across 42 hospitals with over 6,000 patients, strict blood sugar control actually increased deaths, one death for every 40 patients treated. Despite rhetoric about the science of systems, we failed to learn that systems interventions require rigorous evidence before adoption.
Protect yourself by following these steps. First, identify endpoints that matter, symptom relief and longevity, not just test numbers. Second, ask what studies support the treatment, specifically randomized trials across multiple hospitals. Third, inquire about the number needed to treat. Even our best therapies often require treating 20 to 50 patients to help one. Fourth, weigh benefits against side effects, costs, and lifestyle impact. Finally, find a doctor who welcomes questions about uncertainties. Systemic change requires medical education reform, shifting to encounter-based learning, emphasizing clinical reasoning over memorization. Academic centers must reduce conflicts of interest by removing industry from trial design and creating independent bodies to prioritize important trials. Patients and doctors should embrace clinical trials as the default for untested treatments, the safest way to receive new therapies. In a transformed system, fewer treatment options would exist because ineffective ones would be eliminated. Every patient would receive proven treatments, and untested practices would undergo proper trials. This vision isn't about restricting medicine. It's about ensuring your trust is genuinely warranted. The time to demand transformation is now.